Welcome to the 15th Club with your hosts, Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers. Ed and Scotty will bring you up to date on all the big news in the world of golf every Saturday on News Radio KLBJ.
It is time to tee it high and let it fly. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ed Clements along with Scotty Sayers. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio, proudly brought to you by ABC Bank, the Salt Lake Barbecue, the Naughty Deck and Bar at the Austin Renaissance Hotel, Maudie's, Tex-Mex, the Munich Conservancy, Zilker Belts, Donald Ross Sportswear, and by Adelgo. Scotty, good afternoon. We're talking golf, but this hour we've got Knox Fitzpatrick from the Byron Nelson Golf Classic coming up. Also Ward Clayton from Augusta, Georgia. His book, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National. But it's Kentucky Derby Day. It's Derby Day.
Yeah, and so we'll talk Kentucky Derby.
Let's do it right now.
Let's go right there.
Let's do it right now. Our friend Ron Flatter from the Ron Flatter Racing Pod is with us. Ron, of course, a former Austin resident, employee of KLBJ. His journeys have taken him to New York City, to Australia, now to Kentucky with the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Ron, we're watching it on TV in the big screen. It looks like a very exciting day at Churchill Downs today. How are you, buddy?
I am well, but I'm surprised you're not asking me if Scotty Scheffler deserves to be 4-1 in 2 weeks here at Valhalla here in Louisville for the PGA. So I at least will pay some lip service for that. And good to be with you to talk some ponies. And then for me, you know, the 15th Club would be an aluminum walker in a few short years. So I'm looking forward to racking up my bag with that extra club. But it's good to be on with you.
I'm glad to hear your voice, Kimo Sabe. And let me tell you what, I've been watching all afternoon long the coverage by NBC. This is just exciting. I got to come up next year. Scotty and I want to come up next year and do the show up there. But tell me about your day. You had the big races yesterday. What's your day been like today, Ron?
Well, I really wasn't working hard earlier. One of the things that happens, and you've been around this, Ed, when you have, let's say, a really big football game there in Austin, and there's a demand to have chatter about it, especially over some food and drink. And then they call Ed Clements because they think, hey, there's a personality who can talk about this, has some expertise, and they'll throw you a few dollars in order to do that. So I had a rather well-to-do group of people, including a former ambassador and a current Congress member and a university president, a university called UT that is not in Austin, but still wears orange. That ought to give you a hint. There's about 15 of them, and they paid me to come in there and handicap horse racing for them. And that was the beginning of my day. And then they gave me a sheriff's escort along with the rest of the group here to Churchill Downs. And I walked right in the front gate, sat right down, and started writing about races. And I'm about going to write a column about the Kentucky Derby here. And about, they go off at 6:03 your time, so we're coming up to it.
Hey, Ron, I was wondering, we're going to try to segue a little bit between golf and horse racing. Does the horse named Dornick have any chance today?
Well, here's the thing about him. The competition he faced to get to this point wasn't great. The Fountain of Youth, his most recent win back in March, horses were scratching out of that race that day. It was a very odd day, and the field was only five horses. Then he comes to the Bluegrass up the road here at Keeneland a month ago and finished a disappointing fourth, a distant fourth. And, he was keen. He didn't really look like he wanted to be there, didn't really have anything left in the tank late. So maybe was it one of those races, or were his three previous wins in a row more emblematic of him? And so, for that reason, there's a lot of skepticism about him, and for that reason, he is not on my tickets to win the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, darn.
Well, I think, you know, Ron, I told you this. Ferris and Ben and I got to play Royal Dornick a few years ago, our favorite golf course in Scotland, and Scotty Sayers' great friend, Ben Crenshaw. Ben Crenshaw is an honorary member of Dornick.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, no wonder you wanted to do that, but right now you can get them at 22-1. So, and look, there's some wise guys who think he might be able to do the job. Why grade him down for one bad race if that was just one that he had to get out of his system? That's the thinking that could come into play there. But I don't see him coming through. He could be also part of an early pace, one of the early horses in the lead, and he could wither from that. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking.
one of the cool things, you're writing about horse racing. You've done it. You're doing it. That's your career now with the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. But you can go make a bet, and that's a thing you can walk down from the press box. Tell us about your top three picks for this afternoon.
Well, the top pick is not exactly I'm not exactly, you know, finding new oil here in the field. This is the favorite in the race, and that is Fierceness. When he's on his game, he cannot be touched. Evidence of that, last time out, 5 weeks ago, Florida Derby, he won by a mere 13 and a half lengths and did it against horses who are back here for this race. Not the strongest part of the field, but he was the Eclipse Award winner last year as the champion two-year-old male, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile by 6 1/4 lengths, won his maiden race by 11 lengths. This sounds unbeatable, right? Here's the problem. Those were his first, third, and fifth races. His second race, the Champagne Stakes, in the slop at Aqueduct in New York in October, got out of the gate badly, tired late, finished a very distant seventh. Then he comes back in his three-year-old debut, first race after 3 months off in February, Holy Bull Stakes, had a bad start, finished third, and not a very good-looking third at odds on. So will we get the very, very good Fierceness, or will we get the troubled Fierceness? I would discount that race in February because he was coming off of a long break. If he gets out of the gate, he'll be near the lead, if not on it, and he should win it. And so he's my key horse. The other two horses I'm including, there are two trainers who are very prominent among many, but they are Chad Brown and Brad Cox. And they have multiple horses in this race, but I'm not betting the best of their horses if you look at them from an odds standpoint. I'm betting the other Chad and the other Brad. And the other Chad is named Domestic Product, a horse who hasn't raced in 2 months. When last seen, he won the Tampa Bay Derby. And right after the race, they said, we're not going to race him again until the Kentucky Derby. So there's a lack of recency bias that comes into play there. The Tampa Bay Derby is not as respected a prep race as some of the other ones that were used by others to get in this race. And Domestic Product right now, 28-1 in the current odds.
Wow.
And then the other one I'm looking at, the other Brad, is a bit of a buzz horse this week, and his name is Just a Touch, number 8. He's finished second in his last two races after his debut win in January. He finished second in the slop in the Gotham Stakes in New York, and then he finished a very resilient second, I thought, and I was there for this race, behind Sierra Leone, who is the second favorite in this race. But I really felt like this horse is almost like looking at that. Let's say you're looking at Little League baseball players and you see an 11-year-old who grew early and now even the 12-year-olds are trying to catch up to him. This horse is kind of like that 12-year-old who is catching up, maybe a bit of a late bloomer. And I'm counting on him going forward and moving forward off of his last start to hit the board or maybe even, goodness gracious, maybe even win the race. And right now he is 11-1 in current odds. So you got some good prices. I mean, in a 20 horse field, you should.
You know, there are a bunch of Kappa Alphas or maybe one of these guys, Delts or Fijis here. I bet I can get somebody to book some bets right now here at Dirty Martin's, Ron. It's loaded with college students. You know what I mean?
I would think so. And, you know, I know you don't have what we call advanced deposit wagering there in Texas, which means you can bet on your phone. I mean, in pretty much most of the country, you can bet on your phone. You just tap a few buttons and you could bet the race. You know, here, and of course, here at Churchill Downs, there are more than a few places that are happy to take your money. So, maybe you need to do something nudge, nudge, wink, wink to get a bet down.
Hey, thank you for the visit, partner. We really appreciate it. You got to come see us in the fall. Come here. We're at the 15th Club, End Zone Club, Mac Brown table here at Dirty Martin's, where there are plenty of hot and cold running co-eds and fraternity guys and burgers and drinks. So you got to pick a game, come down and be with us, one of the Longhorn shows, okay?
Yeah, I'm a little, when it comes to college women, I think I'm a little old for the co-eds. I think maybe a tenured professor if my wife didn't object. But that's as much as I could really think of.
Hey, have a great day,
thank
buddy.
You, Ron.
Thank
go, you. Go bet Dornick to show.
Yeah, right. Go bet Dornick to show, okay?
I will not. No, I'm not even in. I'll fit him closer maybe to finish last. But that's another matter. Ed, okay, Scotty, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Rondo. See you, buddy. Bye-bye now. Ron Flatter, former Austin resident with the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. What a wealth of information he is.
That was great. We've never done horse racing, really, have we?
Yeah, he lives there in Louisville year-round, but just a wealth of information. You know, I have connections with horse racing from Midland, Scotty, the great horse Ali Sheba by the Scarborough family, and they had another winner, Tommy Lee, in 1955. So we have some Texas influence at Kentucky Derby, not this year.
Well, King Ranch won a Triple Crown.
Oh, they did that?
Yeah, was it Assault or what?
I forgot what it was.
It was like 1956.
Yeah, yeah. Also, look for this horse, Forever Young today. Forever Young, the horse from Japan. All right, we're going to take a break. After this break, we're going to go to the Byron Nelson Golf Classic, now called the CJ Cup. Our friend Knox Fitzpatrick is on the course. We'll be back with more from Dirty Martins. This is the 15th Club Live on KOBJ.
Howdy, folks. This is Ray Benson of Asleep at the Wheel, and you're listening to the 15th Club with Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Thank you so much, Raimundo. Welcome back to Dirty Martin's Place, the iconic burger place here on campus on Guadalupe. This is the 15th Club, proudly brought to you by ABC Bank. Many thanks to our friend Ron Flatter, who just gave us that report live from Churchill Downs. Not only there is horse racing, but golf today, Scotty. And let's talk about the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson.
Well, we're going to take our live line direct to the 17th hole in Dallas, Texas. My good friend, member of the class of Austin High 1970, big-time Dallas lawyer and salesmanship club member, Knox Fitzpatrick. Knox, you got your red pants on today out there on the 17th hole?
I do. If you look at me on TV, I'm the guy in the red pants.
Knox, how's it been today? We know the leader is Taylor Pendrith. Taylor Pendrith with a one-shot lead over Jake Knapp, who's won this year on the PGA Tour. Ben Coles is at 17. Matt Wallace at 17. How was it today? How are the crowds at the Byron Nelson?
We had so many great patrons out here. Everyone having a good time. You know, one of the things about the Byron Nelson is that it's sort of the gateway into the summer. People here in Dallas, in the Dallas, North Texas area, of course, now we're in Collin County, which has been a tremendous support for our tournament. But it kind of gets the summer kicked off with so many people coming out and having a good time. And it was really rewarding to see just a lot of people having a great time. And we really look forward to a great finish tomorrow.
Knox, I know the Salesmanship Club does a great job raising a whole lot of money for the Dallas community. And it doesn't matter so much what the field is. I mean, of course, you'd love to have a better field maybe than you have this year, but people still come out and support the tournament as they have for many years. It's like a cocktail party as well as a place to see some good golf.
Well, there's no question we have a good time. And one of the things is this. We are a club that certainly believes in the fellowship, but we certainly believe in our cause. The money we raise at this tournament goes to the Momentous Institute. We have a school that through fifth grade over in Oak Cliff at Beckley and 10th that is the student body is composed largely of mostly impoverished children and many children who've been traumatized in their lives. And I can tell you that I think the stat is between 80% and 90% of these children having gone to the Momentous Institute, to our school there at Momentous, go to college. And that's that dwarfs a lot of public school systems there in Texas. We also counsel many, many families who have trauma in their families. As an example, if parents are in the penitentiary or if parents are addicted and so forth, it impacts these children. And we serve just about 8,000 families a year with the money raised in our tournament. And so it shows you can have a great time and a lot of time with your friends, whooping it up at a great golf tournament. But you can also know that those dollars go to help people and change lives. We're about changing lives, and that makes it particularly rewarding.
You know, Knox, it's great to hear that because we talk about it on the show every week. The golfing public, and golf is thriving around the country, the golfing public is a little bit tired of hearing the players talk about how much money they can make or going to live and all these different things. But there's still a tremendous charitable aspect to the PGA Tour, and especially to what you do in Dallas with the Salesmanship Club.
Well, that's true, Scotty. And there's a, you know, everyone does, every tournament has their charities differently. Some of them, the money goes to a number of different charities, but we've done it this way for a long time. And, you know, Salesmanship Club's been around since 1920.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a venerable organization, and I can tell you that it's just great to be a part of it. And our partnership, our historic partnership with the PGA Tour, I think this is right. I think we've raised more money for charity with the Byron Nelson than any other tournament on tour. And I'll say this too, in large part that was due to Mr. Nelson. He's the gold standard in what a man ought to be. And it's just a tremendous thing that we still have his name attached to our tournament.
Yeah. Knox Fitzpatrick is with us. He's in Dallas at the Byron Nelson. I'll call it the Byron Nelson. I won't put the CJ Cup in front of it. But well. Knox is one of the top golfers at Dallas Country Club, one of the top golfers there. Have you got a chance to get?
Believe that, I've got some swampland to show you.
Now, I've seen you play. Have you seen this young guy, Chris Kim from England, the 16-year-old kid who made the cut and continues to play great today?
It's pretty stunning. I have not had a chance to see him play. I was, believe it or not, Ed, I was working hard in my position and wasn't able to see him play. But isn't that remarkable? 16
yeah.
years old and playing lights out. It's a great thing. And as you can see from our leaderboard, we've got a ton of young guys up there who just play great golf. And it's all on the PGA Tour. It's a great thing.
Yeah, Knox, we got about a minute left. Why the red pants? Let me ask you that question.
You know, it's a very good question. And I will tell you this, I really don't know the answer to that. It's just always been red pants, and everybody can see them. And truly, when people want to know something that's going on that tournament, if they need help and so forth, they know who they can come to. And it's just part of the service we do, I guess.
Well, that's the best reason right there is you're identifiable out there.
It's just like the guys in the green jackets at Augusta. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Red pants, green jacket.
That would be a great combination.
And
this year we have encouraged people today to wear green because we are working with the PGA Tour. I think this may well be a long-term thing to work on the mental health aspect of young people.
And I think it's very worthy.
So a lot of people are wearing green out here today. And we look forward to that being rewarding for people throughout the tour.
Knox, who's your pick to win the Kentucky Derby? We just went to Churchill Downs to visit with Ron Flatter. Here, he likes fierceness. Who do you like in the Derby today, or have you looked?
I'll tell you, I've seen this big horse, Ed. I really like Secretariat.
Man.
Well, that was a good pick in 1973, Kemosabe. Hey, Knox, thank you for being with us. Continued success. Can't wait to see you back at your old hometown. Let's go play golf at Muni. Thanks for the visit. Have a great Sunday at the Byron Nelson Golf Classic. Thanks a million.
Thank you for the call, man.
All right, thank you, Knox.
Right, bye-bye. Knox Fitzpatrick of Dallas, one member of the Salesmanship Club, the great organization that does so much philanthropically for Dallas. And The field is not as strong as it has, but the salesmanship is strong as ever. They really are.
Yeah, they are, and it's made because what Byron Nelson used to do, greeting those players when they came off the 18th green.
You're listening live to the 15th Club from Dirty Martin's Place on the Drag. When we come back, a visit with Ward Clayton, the legendary caddies of Augusta National, next on the 15th Club on KLBJ.
This is Bill McAtee. You're listening to Austin's only golf show, the 15th Club, with my friends Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers on KLBJ.
Thanks so much, Bill McAtee, former Channel 7 broadcaster, former CBS broadcaster, great friend of ours. Welcome back to the 15th Club, live from Dirty Martin's Place, where we have a ton of people here, not only watching golf, now watching the start of the Kentucky Derby in just a little bit, and also watching Longhorn baseball. Texas Longhorns now lead Oklahoma State, bottom of the eighth, 5-3 over at Dish Falk Field. Scotty, we have a great guest now to talk about one of our favorite subjects, caddies. Ward Clayton is a former sports editor of the Augusta Chronicle. He's worked for the PGA Tour, a noted writer, and just a great guy. The book is called The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National. And as we talk about all the time, we have soft spots for the man they call Carl Jackson. Let's go to Ward. Ward, welcome to the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. And how are you this afternoon?
William, Scotty, good to hear from you. I'll interject here first. You know, at Augusta, they have this craze going on for the gnomes.
Yes.
You can buy them. This year, there was a gentleman dressed up like a gnome, and he appeared at a book signing, and I swore it was Ed Clements. but I don't think it was. It resembled you a lot. So there's a parallel universe out there with a guy dressed up like a gnome who looks like Ed Clements.
Well, it could have been Craig. Could have been Craig Stadler there, Ward.
Yeah, could have been Craig Stadler too. Well, I'll have to you know, make an appearance there. It wasn't me though. Listen, we're watching the Kentucky Derby. We watched golf this afternoon. And your book is The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National. You have so many wonderful stories. And, of course, Scotty was at Augusta. Scotty saw the Carl Jackson movie on Monday night. And I know you are very, very close to Carl Ward. Talk about what Carl Jackson has meant to you and in your writing and your investigating and your things about your book.
I think Carl's an inspirational story. And, Scotty, hello to you. I know that on Monday of Masters Week, we were allowed to see Rise Above, the documentary that was done on him. It was really, really truthful, motivational. You know, Carl, you know, quit school at age 12 to go caddy to try to raise some money for his family. And I believe all six of his kids are now college graduates and doing well in life. And Carl's now 77 and still zooming along. And I just think he's an inspirational figure. You know, if you wouldn't know from a distance when you came up to Carl, he's sort of a big, intimidating guy, but he's also very soft-spoken. So I think you get a sense for why he and Ben sort of found a niche together with each other.
For sure, Ward, and also that caddy facility there at Augusta National. Now, I know you started going to the Masters probably, 40 years ago, and it's changed so much. And now the caddy facility is a place where the players like to hang out. I'm lobbying for it to be called the Carl Jackson facility. Any movement on that?
I don't know, but you know, Bones McKay's called it that for a number of years. He always calls it the Carl Jackson House is what he calls it. So I think it's become a favorite place for all the players. Just like you said, they used to go to the clubhouse or hang out under the tree behind the clubhouse, but now they just go there because they can go and get a nice meal. They can hang out. They're right beside the practice facility. And I don't know if you noted, but this year they announced that next year all the player parking will be underground. So
wow.
I can't wait to see how that works. And, you know, the players park right behind the practice facility and the caddy facility. So I can imagine that's going to be pretty state-of-the-art there with all the players parking under there. So, yeah, it's the Rolls-Royce of caddy facilities. It's unbelievable. So it's You know, it used to be just a brick, a dirt floor, and a cinder block walls, you know, years ago, but it's improved drastically. It's the best caddy facility in the world, there's no doubt.
Ward, your book has so well documented some of the real characters that were caddies at Augusta National, and one of my favorite things to do when I drive people back between the club and the house where we stay with Ben is to go through the sand hills and see where these caddies grew up, where they lived when they were caddying at the National and also at Augusta Country Club, and see the difference in just a few blocks where they lived and then where the mansions are there in Augusta. Talk about that a little bit.
In this book, Scotty, I really tell the story of Sand Hills. I did this long chapter on that neighborhood. It's really unique in that it's right beside Augusta Country Club, right beside Augusta National, right beside these historic cemeteries and Walton Way, where all these humongous homes are. They're over 100 years old. That neighborhood, after the Civil War, a lot of black families settled there because they could easily walk up to the Walton Way houses and work as butlers or maids or work in the yard or do a number of different tasks. They didn't have to get in a car or ride a bike or anything like that. And I think the same thing held true for these young men who went to Augusta Country Club and learned how to caddy. That let them develop this skill, and they would eventually, quote, graduate across Race Creek to Augusta National. And not only did they develop a skill, they developed this camaraderie amongst themselves to allow them to become, I think, the greatest caddy corps in the history of the game. You know, Arl Palmer's caddy, Iron Man Avery, grew up there. Willie Peterson, who caddied for Jack Nicklaus, grew up there. Freddie Bennett, who became the caddy manager, caddy master at Augusta National, grew up in that neighborhood. It's just, it's really rich with a lot of history there. And so hopefully I told that story well about how all these guys learned how to caddy. And I'm a product of my environment. I grew up in Durham, North Carolina, about six blocks from the municipal course in Durham. And the other direction, 2 miles, was Cameron Indoor Stadium, Duke's basketball arena. Even though I'm a Tar Heel, that was still, those are two things that became a part of my life. And to this day, I really love college basketball and love golf as a result of that. So a lot of these guys did the same thing. They went next door and got a job working, and therefore they became a pretty famous lot of caddies.
You know, that's interesting, Ward. It relates a lot to our municipal golf course here in Austin, Lyons Municipal, because there's a neighborhood that was near Lyons Municipal where a lot of the domestic help for the so-called rich people in Austin lived many years ago, back 100 years ago. And then the young men that went over to Lyons Municipal and caddied and later were granted the right to play on that course when it was desegregated. There's stories like this all over the country, but the one at Augusta that you have chronicled so well is fascinating. You mentioned a few nicknames. You mentioned Iron Man. Reel off a few of those nicknames of the caddies. I think that's one of the fun things.
Well, that was the reason I did this book, because I only knew them by their caddies, by their nickname, you know, 25 years ago. So I wanted to find out who they really were. You know, get names that you can never forget, like Pappy, Iron Man, Cemetery, Bull, Roundhead, Burnt Biscuit, Daybreak, Ho Baby. You know, there's a lot of, you know, and Carl even had a nickname that he didn't carry forward. He was called Skillet.
Yep.
Because Carl wanted to be a baseball pitcher, but he didn't have much of an arm for a fastball, so they said he couldn't break an egg when he threw the ball, so he was nicknamed Skillet.
Hey,
so,
Ward, can you hold on? We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear about a guy that they called Cricket. Can we do that after this break?
Doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
Ward Clayton is with us, the legendary caddies of Augusta National, a must read.
And you can get that book on Amazon.
for sure. That right now.
Yeah.
All right, we're broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's place on the UT campus. Ed Clements and Scotty Sears, Steve Weiner, a great friend from Save Munis, with us. We are about to eye the start of the Kentucky Derby as we talk golf and much, much more live on the 15th Club. Back with Ward Clayton right after this.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's the guy that says if the weather's clear,
I'm
can do,
Valentine, can do, line.
This guy says the horse can do.
Hey, welcome back to the 15th Club on KOBJ Radio. It's Clements and Scotty Sayers. We're talking golf, but we're also interested in the Kentucky Derby as they're about to start. Ward Clayton is our special guest. His book, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National. Ward, I got to tell you, Scotty and I have a favorite in this horse race. It's a horse by the name of Dornick, named after Royal Dornick, a golf course in Scotland, my all-time favorite golf course. So we're pulling for Dornick this afternoon at the Kentucky Derby. And speaking of Dornick, I had great caddies when we went to Scotland with my boys and Scotty a few years ago. That's something that a lot of people don't know about, caddies. People, a lot of clubs don't use caddies anymore, but I wish they would. Now, on to the cricket story. Tell everybody who cricket was, and there's a Texas connection to cricket.
Cricket's given name is Walter Pritchett, and he's tall and lean and resembled a cricket. That's how he got his nickname. So the 1971 Masters, Texas's own Charlie Coody comes, and cricket is his caddy. They're walking up the 8th fairway on Saturday, and cricket, they're waiting for the green to clear on that par 5 hole for their second shot, and cricket asks Charlie Coody, what time does the television coverage begin today? And Charlie Coody is not focused on that. He's leading the tournament. Jack Nicklaus and Johnny Miller are right behind him. And he says, why do you need to know that? And he said, well, you know, I drive a bus, and I told my boss that I was taking off this week to go visit my sick grandmother in Houston. And I didn't think you were going to play this well. And lo and behold, found out that the 11th hole was where the coverage began on Saturday and Sunday when Charlie Coody got to number 11. Cricket would come from the edge of the fairway, and he'd taken the towel off of the golf bag and taken his cap off and put the towel over his head and then put the cap on top of the towel, and he was trying to hide from his boss while he was on CBS that week.
So, and it helped Charlie, didn't it? It helped Charlie Coody.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of these guys were great green readers. They were pretty blunt with them, but I think humor was also effective. And I think Charlie Coody was laughing at his caddy the entire back nine, seeing him do this, and he wasn't as worried about Nicklaus or Johnny Miller chasing him down. So I think humor definitely played a vital role in him winning the Masters.
Ward, you know, we have so enjoyed your documentary on loopers and the caddies around the world. What is the situation at Augusta National? You don't have the same sort of cultural movement from the Sandhills as local caddies. Now, who caddies at Augusta National for the members?
There's an organization called Caddy Master Enterprises, which runs a lot of the caddy ranks for Augusta National, Pebble Beach, a lot of the prominent clubs around the country. And it's not the same as it was back before they allowed outside caddies in 1983, but I will tell you guys, there's still that flavor there. And this year is a perfect example. Scotty Scheffler indicated that in that documentary we saw, Scotty, that he had gotten some tips from Carl Jackson 2 years ago when he won the Masters. He shared his yardage book with him. And that was instrumental in Scotty and Ted Scott learning the golf course.
Yeah.
Ted is smart enough. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say he did the same thing for Jordan Spieth Carl did in 2015 when Jordan won.
So, but Ted's taking it to another level. Ted has befriended a guy who caddies there now by the name of Steve Kling. And Steve will walk them around the golf course in the weeks leading up to the Masters and show them, hey, this has changed, this is different, this kind of stuff. He serves as a scout. And Ted's smart enough to become friends with him. And he stays with him during Masters week. So I'm sure he gets some intel every night when they're catching up about what's going on. And I'll even take it a step further. This year, Tommy Fleetwood finished tied for third in the Masters. That was his best finish ever. And his caddy, Ian Finnis, had to stay home in the U.K. because he had to undergo open heart surgery. And in stepped longtime Augusta caddy, Gray Moore, who caddied for him. And Gray served the same purpose as Steve Kling did. He scouts out the golf course for those guys in the weeks leading up to the Masters. And therefore, Gray easily picked up his bag, and Tommy had the best Masters he's ever had. So I still think there's a little bit of that heritage that exists there. When players go there, they know they need to rely on some of these guys who are still caddying there to sort of tell them what's changed.
You know, that Ward, you talk about local caddies and how much they meant to players in the past. When Ed Snead bogeyed the last three holes in 1979 and Fuzzy Zeller went into the playoff and won his first Masters, Carl Jackson's brother Carl Jackson's brother was caddying for Ed Snead, and Ed Snead waved off his reeds on those last three holes and missed three putts inside of 10 feet. The Carl's brother swears if all he had to do is make one of them and he wins the Masters. But, you know, that's missing. And 1983 being the first year that players were allowed to bring in their own caddies. And even people don't realize that all the majors restricted outside caddies until the mid-70s.
Exactly. I agree. And, you know, when Carl and Ben won those Masters for years, guys like Bruce Edwards and Steve Williams and people like that were trying to get some information from Carl when they were playing in the Masters. And Carl and Ben kept that to themselves, you know, some of the things about the pool, about how everything breaks down to behind the 11th green at Race Creek, you know, they kept that to themselves. You know, I think that served as an advantage for them in those years because they understood the golf course, where some of those other guys really had a big learning curve to learn how a golf course worked.
You just said the words that Carl used to, the pool. And explain what the pool is. Explain what that is, Ward.
The pool originates from Pappy Stokes, who caddied for Ben Hogan twice, caddied for Jack Burke when he won in 1956. And Pappy Stokes, his family worked at the nursery before Augusta National existed. When he was a kid, he watched the golf course being built, and when it rained, he saw how the rain flowed down to the lower extremities of Augusta National, and he learned how to read the greens by watching the rain flow to Amen Corner. And so he taught that to all these guys, including Carl. And that was the pull that those guys kept to themselves. And, you know, if they were on a green in the middle of the golf course, they knew which way Race Creek was, where some of the other guys may have struggled for that because they didn't understand where that pool was.
Fascinating.
There's all kinds of stories like that in Ward's book, and you got to get this book and get it on Amazon, right, Ward? Where else can you get it?
We're so conditioned these days to go online and order stuff. You can get it at Amazon. Yeah, you can go to the publisher is Blair Publisher, and you can get it BLAIR Pub.com. It's not a place you have a drink, but it's Blair Publisher, and you can order it there also.
Ward Clayton, thank you for being with us this afternoon on the 15th Club. Much success. Come see us in Austin sometime, my friend.
We'll do. You guys have a good rest of the day, and I hope Dornick did well.
Thank you so much. Ward Clayton, the legendary caddies of Augusta National. I'm Ed Clements along with Scotty Sayers. The Kentucky Derby set to go off in just a minute. We're going to break for the news, but after the news, we'll tell you who won, and maybe it will be Dornick. Maybe it'll be our friend Ron Flatter's horse in Fierceness. Maybe the Japanese horse, Forever Young. We'll be back from Dirty Martin's Place after the news on KLBJ.
Well, I've won and lost against the best. This old road's been...